We are continuing our series on the Great Commission, a practical understanding. So let's do a little review first and then move forward in Jesus' name. Is that all right?
Amen.
Glory be to God. So let's do some review. Let's look back at some verses. It's like it's been a minute since we've been on it. I think it's been like a couple of weeks, I guess, but maybe it's been that long or not. I think it has. Yes. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 12 and look at God's original covenant promise to Abraham that really was a foretelling of Jesus giving the Great Commission to his disciples in and subsequently the church in Matthew 28. So let's go back where it all began, and even before that, you can even go back to Genesis 3, where there was the promise of a Redeemer, a Savior. Genesis chapter 12, look at verse 1. Glory be to God in the highest. Yeah. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house. That, like, I could hardly ever get past that without making a comment on that, because there are a lot of, there's just times in life we just need to remove ourselves from just everything and everyone. He said, man, get away from all your kinfolk. Yes, God gave us family, but Satan perverted family.
Amen.
And Abraham was not, his family was not saved. And he said, get away from all of them. From your father's house, your relatives. I mean, that's your kinfolk, cousins, uncles, aunties, your dad. I mean, go from all of it. And I need you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. Because what can we do? What tends to happen to us around family? We get comfortable. And we can get so comfortable that we don't hear God, or that we don't have faith in God, or it's hard to exhibit faith in God because we are so comfortable around family. There are times when the Lord God has commissioned us to get away from family. And I need you just to go. And I'm not going to even tell you where you're going. You just need to go. Because I want to, one, get you alone with me to hear me. And two, I need you to develop trust in me. Now, in a far less dramatic way, this is what the Lord did with me in a sense before starting this church. He had me to leave Word of Faith. Word of Faith is a place you can get very comfortable. You got 9 million ministers, 40 million congregation members. You got a full orchestra. We're not talking about the regular quote unquote band. I mean a full orchestra. I mean wind instruments, harp, all that. I don't know how many choirs. You in a brand new $25 million building, 5,000 seat arena. You talking about getting comfortable. Get comfortable. Comfort can be the enemy of growth and progression in God's will. Amen. And we've always talked about the Great Commission, but God got us right here. And we need to hear this, don't we? It's easy to get comfortable. The very word of comfort, the root word of it is, lets us know about ease and relaxation. And those are things that can be the enemy of a soldier, which we are always in a war. Just because we're comfortable doesn't mean that the war has let up. We just comfortable. Is not our enemy still on the prowl, seeking whom he can go down hole every day and every night? You think he lets up because, oh, they're comfortable. Let me let up. What do you think he's thinking? That's a more favorable and opportune time. Abraham, you got to leave all you can, folks. Leave all this comfort. Leave all your familiarity and step out beyond what you're used to. and what is stepping out beyond our comfort zone to go to comfortable, because this is where we're comfortable, that family zone we can be. So getting out of our comfort zone, symbolic for us today, is the land where he wants to show us. It's the land of uncomfortable. Does that make sense? Because when we're uncomfortable, guess what we tend not to do? Is rely on self. Because we don't know what's going on. When he pulled me out of subbing and out and threw me into the depths of Blanchett Ocean, not the Atlantic Ocean, not the Indian Ocean. Y'all don't know it's a new ocean called the Blanchett Ocean. Y'all didn't talk about ain't no Eastern Head Ocean. He threw me in the depths of Blanchett Ocean. I don't know nothing. He forced me to have faith in him. Because that's the only way I was going to make it up out of there. Day by day. For us, the land of uncomfortableness is a very uncomfortable, it's very uncomfortable to us, to our flesh. But it's great in the long run because it grows you. No, when you are thrown, you're snatched out of a church that has all of that going on, and you are thrown and you land in the basement of your mother, and that's a whole different world. And you don't even know, Greg Harris, that you're going to be, during this transition of starting a brand new church, I'm going to also commission you, which you won't even know, to transition from charismatic to reform at the same time. And you have no earthly help to do that. That's the land that he showed you. And I thank God I have that testimony as your pastor. I stand before you. I'm not crooked, cross-eyed, and crazy, at least not so bad. I know I'm still on the list. There's some craziness in there. But for the most part, I'm pretty rational and sane, for the most part. So I'm a living witness. I'm just rebel like you. It's tough to embrace the land of where I will show you. Tough to embrace that. But I'll say this, having learned from experience, when you stop fighting it and just give in to it, you'll see him walk you through it. He'll send. He has a raven and a brook for you. Just like for Elijah, I think it is. Yeah,
thank you, Lord.
He has a raven and a brook. Am I right? Well, what if Elijah never went to that point? He didn't get blessed by that. You got to go to those lands, in a sense. The land of being uncomfortable. The land of not knowing. Because that's the best place to be to develop trust in God.
Amen.
It's a great testimony now. It was tough when it was happening. But it's a great testimony now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because look what happens, verse 2, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And implied, I will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. Verse 2 never happens without obedience to verse 1.
Amen.
Getting away from comfort. Well, comfort makes us comfortable in our own skills, gifts, abilities. That's what comfort does. And I don't care who you are and how long you've been saved or how long you're mature in Christ, comfort tends to make us comfortable in us. Even though veterans, we understand you can't do this thing your own self, yet comfort is just like a sneaky sleep, you know, just jump up on you, next thing you nod, you know. Comfort just, next thing you know, you're comfortable. It's not like you even planned it. You just are. And the longer we're there, there being the land of comfort, the longer we're there, the more relaxed we get. And the more we can slip into Lord, I'm not saying we're going to say this verbatim out of our mouths, Lord, we don't need you. But boy, oh boy, before you know it, you're kind of thinking, might be thinking that a little bit. Not that you are even aware that you are. Remember, he's the most subtle beast of the field, and this is the little fox that spoiled the vine. So we don't really fully realize that this is sneaking up on us. Before you know it, you all in that area there. You in that zone. But thank God for God.
Amen.
He sends the Holy Spirit, seeing us in our stupor, drunk and super drunk off of comfort, and says, you know what? You have lost your mind. You don't realize it. Get out of there. Get away. It was easy being a substitute teacher. It was. I could pick my assignments. I was well respected in my school, which is a whole huge benefit. I was a terrible student and made some teachers cry. It was terrible, just terrible. But to have those same teachers, but I was a great sub, growing up more, maturing more, able to pick my own assignment. That's comfortable. Assignment I didn't want, I could turn it down. Until the Lord had the superintendent knock on the door and gave me an assignment I would have never chose, ever chosen. That was him moving me out of comfort into a land of great discomfort. But verse 2 is where, see, that's what God, now remember, for my own sake, comma, for my own sake, I'm acting.
Right. Yeah.
But if you go ahead and submit, you get, his grace is so lavish that his purpose is being fulfilled, but you get blessed in the meantime.
Amen.
And you don't have to do that.
Amen.
Wow. You are going to allow me to partake in your plan and purpose and receive benefits from? Yes, did I not say I am a rewarder of them who diligently seek him? I said that.
Mm-hmm.
Make your great nation, I'm going to bless you. Make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. Not only that, verse 3, I'm going to bless those who bless you. Curse those who curse you. I'm going to be your protector, provider, and guide, your shepherd.
Yes.
And in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Every single people group is going to be blessed because of your obedience. That's profound.
Amen.
And all we're talking about the Great Commission, let this, and I think it's a word for all of us. If God is already, God may be working on somebody here about moving from comfort to discomfort to the land of discomfort. Okay. If he is, it's time to bow down to it. So that's a word for us.
Man.
Receive it. Because we don't like to leave the land of comfort. It's hard to do that. It's tough to do that. And especially if you have this sense in your spirit that where you're going is not going to be a joyous situation. Because I remember, it's still scary, but I remember that Joshua 1, like 5-9 was just blowing up in my spirit. And there's the blessing of, you know, if you don't let the book of the law depart out of your mouth, well, you shall meditate on day and night, and you shall observe to do according to all that's in the law, and you'll be blessed, and so on and so on. All that was cool. But that's not what stood out. What I kept saying was, only be strong and courageous. And then only be thou strong and very courageous. I kept saying that over and over. I said, oh, Lord! I knew at that moment, he finna send me to a place that I ain't gonna like. I called my mother. I said, Mother, I'm going to go somewhere. It's going to be tough. Them words, Miss Darlene, it like the words stood up on the page and walked right into my mind. Only be thou strong. First, it'd be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Then to be thou strong and very courageous. That scared the mess out of me. Because I knew I heard from God. Remember, God speaks through you. That's why you need to know that word. That was a clear message. I knew where I was going. And sure enough, Lantech came not too far after that. He does prepare. He does prepare. So let's listen. And you gotta be mature to understand that it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. For my own sake, I'm acting. I'm not gonna let my name be blasphemed and my praise and my glory, and I will not share with another. It's all about him. I rejoice that we understand that here at Word of Life. It's not about us. It's all about him. And if he so chooses to grace us by letting us receive blessings from it, which he usually does as incentive to go through these things, so be it. But he doesn't owe it to us. Doesn't owe it. Father God, anything you do for me, thank you while I'm going through this Blanchett type episode, I thank you for it. And believe me, this is Blanchett. It's 91. We hadn't really, this is, I didn't know anything about reform. This is 10 years before Word of Life. But Lord, you could at least work out the Word of Life. I could have dealt with it better. But that's, it was, remember, God's timing is God's timing. God's timing is the best timing. Because what it did do was to force me not to trust in all the confident word of faith and trust in him as we transitioned through those years of Blanchett. And coincidentally, when the Blanchett episode ended, Word of Life was a start. Okay, you done learned some things now. And one of the things was during the time of Blanchett was also near the end was separation from Word of Faith. I'm not realizing that right now. Word of Faith was 2 years before Word of Life. We left Word of Faith in 98. Word of Life started in 2000. Blanchett ended in 2000. There's a transition. And I'm going to tell you something, y'all. You don't go through all that without just living at the feet of God. I guarantee you that. For those life changes are just massive. About to leave a job, start a church all at the same time. It's enough to leave a job and go to another job. Start a church. And then unbeknownst to me, I don't even know what reform is at that time. And yet we're being transitioned into that. He's a mighty God.
Amen.
Put your trust in him, Word of Life. Please. There's no transition that's too difficult for God to walk you through it. And he's going to walk you through it, because the good news is he will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll walk you through it arm in arm. There's always a brook. There's always a raven. I feel like shouting. Down in my sanctified soul. Oh, glory to God. There's a brook, and there's a raven. He got somebody there for you, but you'll never get there in Scaredville or Prideville or just don't want to leave comfort. I ain't leaving. That's way too crazy. You'll never get there. How many want to continue to grow in the things of God?
Amen.
Find out who he really is. Trust him in the hard places, knowing he's going to deliver you. He's going to walk you through this. I will never, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you. I ain't going nowhere. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm not going anywhere. I see you drowning over in Blanchett. Yeah, it's way over your head. It's on purpose. Because you think too much of yourself. Brother Greg, I'm going to break you down. You know how to break it down, too. He humbled a brother.
Amen.
Had girls talking to me. Come here, man. And I couldn't hit him. I just had to take it. That's how gangster they were. Come here, man. Talking about humility. They just, Lord Jesus, I need you. Because pride go before destruction.
Amen.
I can stand up in my pride. I ain't gonna let no girl talk to me anyway and go knock her out and lose your job. Then all what God had sideways. We need to be broken. And brokenness is not, the breaking process, the pruning process is not fun. Amen. No discipline for the present, the right now, seems joyous. No, but grievous. Comma, but, contrast and conjunction, afterward. Thank God for afterward. Afterward will come. It's coming. You receive the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Yes.
I'm a living witness.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He's a God that promises, and whatever he promises, it has to come to pass.
Amen.
And just as God was with Moses, so shall he be with Joshua. I'm telling you, and the Holy Spirit is telling you, he's telling me, and he's telling us, that as he was with Moses and Joshua, so shall he be with us. Remember, it's the same God. It's not, we don't get, this is good news. We need to remind ourselves of this. The same God that caused Moses to walk through, Joshua to walk through, is the same God in full effect. We ain't getting no partial God, a piece of God. Hallelujah. That's good news.
Amen.
It's the fullness of God.
Amen.
That's why Apostle Paul to the church of Colossae said, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. Fullness of it. Woo! That make you think twice.
Amen.
This ain't no piece of God we get. Ain't no old decrepit God. Well, he old now. You know, that was 1,000 years ago. He don't age.
Amen.
For God is a spirit.
Amen.
As God, as Jesus told the woman at the well, the Syrophoenician woman. God is spirit. They that worship him in spirit. He doesn't age. Malachi 6, I'm the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the same God as I was with Moses, as I was with Joshua, as I was with David, as I was with Solomon, as I was with Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Obadiah, Joel, Malachi, Jesus. I am the same as you.
Amen.
It's the same exact God. Be encouraged, saints of God. You are not alone. I am not alone. We are not alone. And that's good news.
Amen.
I said, Lord, I'm feeling crazy. I'm feeling some type of way. I don't understand why I'm feeling this way. I don't know if males go through womanopause, if women go to menopause. There are times I just feel crazy. Don't know why I'm feeling. I'm feeling just, don't understand it. I'm thankful. I said, Lord, I ain't got to try to figure this out. All I got to do is just know you're right here with me. No matter how I'm feeling, you're right here with me. And you're going to walk this thing out. Remember, he said, I will walk in them. I will be in them. I will walk in them. And they will be, I will be their God. And they will be my people. What a promise. I'm walking with you. I'm not going to ever say, Be arm in arm walking with you, and all of a sudden get distracted, or you slip off the arm, and I done went over this way, you went over this way. Thank you, Lord. He doesn't do that. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's why I wish the women turned into other women, because the men are treating them so bad. You know, men is a lot of cause of the rise of lesbianism. It's my opinion. It's my opinion, and I'm very strong in my opinion on this. The mistreatment, the abuse, and just the straight up violence perpetrated against women, just dogging the beat down. Women have just had enough. Say, you know what? I'm gonna go to a woman. I'm gonna give me some love and get it from a woman. They ain't gonna treat me like this. A lot of, not excusing lesbianism, is still a sin. You feel me? Not saying that. I'm just saying that the mistreatment of men over women for thousands and thousands of years. It's
culminating in this, and I do believe that. What I want, especially Christian women, to understand is that there is a man who will never mistreat you and who will always love you. And I need you to fall in love with him. That's what I want to teach women of the word, that there is a man who loves you. He'll never mistreat you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never do you wrong. Glory be to God. He can love you better than anybody ever has. My mom, my dad, my mother was 38 years old. How you get to 90, 89, 80? How you get to almost 89? And you still single. And you still in your right mind, still loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, working toward that. That's the Lord becoming her husband. Do you hear me? Glory be to God in the highest. My dad died in 68, so it'd be 50, it was 50, it'd be 50 years, it was 50 years this past July. Maybe a couple of years later, my mom had one boyfriend, and she prayed to the Lord, if this dude ain't the one, I put dude in there, she ain't saying that. If this dude ain't it, take away my feelings for him. Am I right on that? I kid you not, word of life. She prayed that prayer. Let's say it was today. By the time Thursday morning hit, tomorrow morning hit, dead on the inside. Lord made it crystal clear. Nope. And we didn't know what was going on because that was the only boyfriend that broke and that was it. But it was the Lord saying, nope, I'm going to be your husband the rest of your life. And life will be a lot simpler. And has made it. The Lord has been her husband and she has been his wife for 50 years this past July. God is not a liar.
Amen.
He said when your mother and father forsake you, or when your husband die, or when your family leave, whatever all your stories are,
yes.
He said then I, the Lord, will take you up. Glory be to God. I got you.
Yes.
You may feel abandoned. Your husband may be gone. You may have five children.
Yes. Thank you.
May have been abused. Put in the hospital. Some of you beaten, battered, bruised. But the Lord did not leave you by the side of the road.
Amen.
He came just like the symbolically speaking, just like the Good Samaritan. Put the salve on you, the oil and wine, to care you, put you in a nice little inn, I'm come back whenever I need to care all your expenses. That's what he's done spiritually to a lot of you in here. And not only just ladies, we need that too, you know. My dad is dead and gone, so I need some help too, you know, not just the women. No, our dads and all do things right and you know, some people, you know, there's men that are hurting.
Amen.
The Lord has taken us up.
Thank you,
Father.
Amen.
The Lord is on our side.
Amen.
And that's one thing the Lord had to remind me at funerals or homegoings or whatever the services may be called. Is remind those who are children of God, remember, the Lord is on your side. Remember, he'll never leave you. Remember, he's with you right now, even in this hour of bereavement. I'm not going anywhere. When I tell you to go to the land of discomfort, I'm going to be with you.
That's right.
It ain't like you're going to say, bye-bye. Who ain't going up to that? And then as you close that door, he closing this one. That's a scary sight.
Yeah.
But it's right there with you. I ain't going to leave you. Go on to that land of discomfort. I'm telling you to go. And I'm going with you. Inside of you is still the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus Christ is still all over your life. The word I've written, learned on Sunday, right? Where have I written it? In your heart. It's there. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And I'm still your Father. You still got the gang of three as you walk through that discomfort. I got you. I got you. Love that. I'll never ever. And the Greek is tripled up. Never ever, never ever, never ever. Three times. Leave you. But forsake you. Lord, I'm with you always. That's why you can go and kind of bring the full circle as we get ready to close back to the commission. That's why you can go. Whatever he tells you to go, you can go. Because of that promise, I'm there. My presence is really there, not symbolically there. Like I said, and that's something to shake you. His presence here right now. The presence of the Lord is here right now. Whether we feel it, understand it, or whatever, when he said it, it has to be. My presence is here. That's powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I am overwhelmed with your encouragement, your reminders for us today. The land of discomfort does not mean an end, but it really is a beginning. To what? Greater growth, greater faith, being more mature. Greater responsibility in your kingdom. And the opportunity, most importantly of all, to bring you greater glory. You send us to the land of discomfort for one reason and one reason only. For your own sake, comma, for your own sake.
Amen.
Father, receive the glory. Receive the honor that we're to bring you in the land of discomfort.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.